Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer and coach, Miss Donna.
Well, good evening and happy Sunday. Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Donna. Today is Sunday, November 6, 2022, and we are broadcasting live from the warm, and I do mean warm, city of Atlanta, Georgia. Believe it or not, it got up to 82 degrees. This is November, right? And it's probably about 71 degrees currently. But no complaints, you know. Listen, this evening we are going to discuss ADHD. So please stay tuned. And of course, since the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway? It's a question. And so that means that I will provide an answer to that question. I always want to do that at the beginning of the show, especially for the new listeners who may be joining us for the very first time. And if that's you, welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, etiquette is just a rule, a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, Charles I and II of England copied these rules of etiquette from the French court. And you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos, kudos, kudos. So that was Charles I and II. So glad that they did that. Well, once again, welcome. And we are certainly going to discuss this evening ADHD, although a therapist that was set to join the conversation is no longer available this evening. Listen, I certainly did not want to cancel this topic since it has, you know, been posted. And it's a very important topic to discuss. And, of course, this is also a topic that was actually suggested. And generally at the end of the show, I always say that if you guys have a topic that you would like to hear us cover, then let us know. And that is what happened. That's the case this evening. And I'm going to bring on a very special guest. She is no stranger to our show. Her name is Nzinga Hickman. She is a mother of four. She has a background in psychology and a daughter who has recently been diagnosed with ADHD. So we certainly want to welcome her. We're going to be kind of talking about this from a personal view here. And so, Nzinga, how are you?
I'm well, Miss Donna. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
Yes, same to you.
I know you are in Ohio, right?
And correct. We're in Columbus, Ohio now. Yeah.
What's the what's the temperature there? Just out of curiosity.
You know, today was unseasonably warm, just as it was in Atlanta. Currently, it's like 64 degrees, but I believe it got up to like 76. I mean, we were outside throwing the ball with the kids and shorts and t-shirts, and it was wonderful. Well, no complaints here.
Yeah, that's pretty warm.
It is. Last year at this time, I think it was down in the 50s, was like the high. So
mm-hmm.
excited about the temperature.
Yeah. And I'm trying to say, I think I might be hearing a little feedback from your line. Maybe I certainly want us to have the clearest connection, because I know you have some wonderful information that you are wanting to share, and I am just so grateful for that. So I just want to make sure that everyone is certainly going to be able to hear about it. I did want to just kind of, guys, and you know me, I just kind of jump in, and so I did that, of course. I will invite you to certainly join the conversation, 516-418-5892. Again, the phone number to reach us is 516-418-5894. Rather, I think I gave you the wrong last digit. But it, again, 516-418-5894. You can join the conversation or send your comments to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Okay? We are certainly, extending the invitation for you to join the conversation. I did want to just kind of do a little background on ADHD and just kind of give a few stats, as I usually like to do on these type of topics. And this is according to the single care team, the statistics for ADHD for 2022. And it just says it's an estimated 6.1 million children have ADHD in the U.S., but adult ADHD stats are rising. And then it goes on to say a restless, easily distracted child is more common than not, especially in the school age range. However, when these actions interfere with his or her schoolwork and result in frequent disciplinary action, parents might wonder if there's more to this behavior than kids just being kids. And, of course, ADHD it stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and which is one of the most common neurodevelopmental disorders among children in the U.S. as supported by the ADHD stats. And, you know, you might be thinking, what exactly is ADHD? Well, it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Again, it's a common disorder marked by an ongoing pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity impulsivity that interferes with functioning or development. And behaviors or symptoms of ADHD can include chronic inattention, hyperactivity, impulsivity. Many are diagnosed with ADHD as children as symptoms become more prominent in early development and academic work. ADHD symptoms can persist into adulthood and affect one's social relationships as well as academic and work performance. And again, we have Nsinga is with me this evening. And Nsinga, if you would, you can just, pretty much start where you would like. I know this is a very personal story for you, and I know that you are sharing this story because there are, many other parents, that either have this story or will at some point share in the story. So you can just, you're free to start wherever you would like to begin. And let me say thank you to in advance for just, having the courage to tell your story, because we often know that this is something, it's something that a lot of times people are not sure, or they may, there's a stigma that can sometimes surround it. So I'll just let you go ahead and go from here.
I mean, I would like to start by saying it's not even just about ADHD. I know that's what we're talking about tonight, but I would like to just encourage parents out there that are dealing with any behavioral or mental issue with their children, because that's, for me, it wasn't so much about the ADHD as opposed to the fact that there was something that I was seeing, and just the willingness to find out exactly what it was. Our journey started with just me seeing, as I mentioned, or as you mentioned, I have a background in psychology. And so what I saw in my daughter was anxiety. That was the first thing that I saw. And I kept saying, why is she so anxious? She has anxiety. She has anxiety. And at the time, she was probably 3 or 4. And so, you know, in our community, most people just kind of rolled their eyes at me and was like, no, you know, she needs a whooping. And that was the response I got from everyone, my family, friends, everyone was like, no, she needs a whooping. She was just sort of a difficult child. She was very sweet, very loving. But when it came to things that what I interpreted as things that measured her up or anything that sort of was a test, even if it was in play, if she felt it was something where she had to win or lose, she would just seem very anxious about it. And I just kind of chalked it up to her personality. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking there is anxiety there. Our journey really started when her teacher, she was in first grade, and her teacher said, you know, I met with the teacher one day and she said, well, what are you going to do? Because she's not getting it. And I was floored because I was all the work I was doing with her at home, she knew the work and I knew she knew the work, but I also did know that there was a disconnect because we would do work at home and then her paperwork would come home from school and it wouldn't match what I knew she knew at home. And so I wasn't completely surprised that her teacher said this. I think I was just shocked that this was the first I was hearing about it when it was a problem for her. I mentioned it to her pediatrician that, you know, on her regular yearly checkups, which we didn't miss. And so her very next checkup was coming soon. And I mentioned to the pediatrician that I was sort of struggling with her because it's, we would get homework for school. And her teacher said, oh, it should take 20 minutes. And I was like, really? It takes us like an hour and a half, because it was a battle. It was calm down, take a breath. Let's just get it done. A lot of anxiety around getting the work done, a fear of not knowing or fear of saying the wrong answer. And, you know, even her teacher, she was very sweet, loved her, Jamaican lady, but she was kind of like, if she were my kid, I would be whooping her. And she said that obviously because she knew that corporal punishment was not my go-to when it came to disciplining my children. We do a lot of positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement, but corporal punishment is always sort of, you know, the very last thing that we go to. And she says, I know how you feel, but I would whoop her. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to whoop my child for not knowing or for what I saw as anxiety in her. I just thought that would make it worse. So anyway, we met with her pediatrician, and her pediatrician said, well, let's just, you know, look at everything. Let's explore everything and see how it goes. And she referred us to a psychiatrist. We met with him, and just based on brief discussions with him and my daughter, he decided that he would have her tested. So we met at a facility where they did testing, and she couldn't even finish the entire test. And she said to me, and so that process was getting her teacher to fill out an evaluation, myself filling out an evaluation, and then there was an individual there, not sure what her title was. I believe she was a psychologist also. She met with her and just walked through some of the testing with her. She did different games to sort of see where she was. At the end of it, she said, well, we weren't even able to get out to get through the entire thing. She said she definitely has anxiety. She tensed up and, you know, she expressed to me different things that she saw in her. She said at her age, because I believe at the time she was 5, she is a year ahead academically, which was surprising to me because she's always been a year ahead academically. And so she said, well, she said, I see the way that she tenses up. And she said, we weren't even able to get through all of it because she kind of just shut down, which is what I had experienced with her at home. And so she said, because of her age, we can't diagnose her as ADHD. So what we're going to say in the evaluation is ADHD cannot be ruled out. However, there's definite anxiety. So we began to treat her for anxiety. She started going to a therapist. We didn't do medication at the time. I felt, okay, she was five, if I get some tools and skills in dealing with it, and she does, we should be able to manage it. And we managed it very well. Her teachers, the director at the school she was going to said, oh my gosh, we see a complete, you know, difference in the way that she approaches her work and just everything that goes on with her. And I thought, okay, great, we've got it under control. And then we moved to Ohio, and I thought, things just went crazy. And I thought, well, maybe it's the move. Maybe it's all the changes that is just making her off the wall. And at that time, what I saw was very impulsive behavior. Or she would do things without thinking. She would walk into her dad's office. There would be a stack of papers, and she would literally just take them up one by one and start ripping them to shreds. Her brother is younger than her. Our older kids are out of the house, but she has a four, going on five. And he would never do any of those things. And she would just rip the paper up. And I'm looking at her like, what are you doing? And the look on her face was kind of like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And, I gave them lunch. It was spaghetti. And I walked away. My four-year-old at the time is sitting at the table with her, and they're eating spaghetti. I come back, and there's spaghetti on the wall. And I know immediately, and my daughter threw the spaghetti on the wall. Or she would wear stockings. Let's say we're going to church, and she has stockings on, and she ends up with a tear in the stocking. And that tear, she cannot let it go. She sees a tiny pinhole tear, and she has to rip it. She has to make it larger. And then before you know it, we're leaving church, and she only has one leg of a stocking because she has literally just shredded it. Her teachers would complain that she would peel paint off the wall. She would see any little bit, and she would just start tearing off the wall. Family members new to her behavior in Ohio would characterize her as busy. She was always on the go. She's like, you know, she's not a bad kid, and I think that's because we were very good on just making sure our children were well behaved, but there were certain things that we just, you know, I wasn't going to make her sit still in a corner, not move, so I would allow her to be herself in that area, which meant she was just always going. She never sat still. They just would say she's busy. She would be loud. My son would always say to her, not so, he calls her sister, which is really sweet, but he will say, sister, not so loud. Sister, calm down. Sister, don't sing so loud. She was just always very loud. And then the fear, the anxiety with school, just it didn't go away. She started second grade, and her teacher said, well, I don't know what it is. Maybe she's just trying to fit in. Maybe she is a social butterfly. And she thought, well, maybe she's just trying to be extra social. She said, I just don't know what's going on with her. She would come home, and she would be struggling with math. Math is an area of struggle for her. And we would be working on a problem, and we would work through it step by step, and she would get it. And she was like, oh, I got it. And I would say, okay, great. Now go write it down. And she would take three steps to the table, and she would say, what did you say again, Mom? And I'm like, what did I say again? What am I supposed to do? She would have forgotten everything that we just talked about. And God knows, I mean, it took so much patience in me, but that was entire semester. That was the entire year. And it was a lot. And it got very frustrating, and I'm not a perfect person. So sometimes I would be to the point where, you know, that frustration wells up in me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just want to whoop her. But I knew she was struggling with something. I had numerous conversations with my husband about it, my parents, my mom, who's, you know, Caribbean, and she's like, she spent a week with her. My husband and I went off for our anniversary, and my mom, she came back, and she was like, wow, what's going on? What's going on with her? and you probably need to be a little more strict than whoop her. And I'm like, I can't be any more strict than I already am, and I'm not going to whoop her because of what she's dealing with. There's something there. I don't know what it is, but I need to figure it out. And so, again, at her doctor's appointment, I brought it up. And initially, her doctor was kind of like, well, I think I brought up math, and she said, well, you know, my kid struggles in math. Most kids struggle in math. And I'm kind of like, this is not just a typical struggle. I said, I feel like there's something else going on. I know she has anxiety, but it feels more than that. And I just kind of want to get my head wrapped around it. I don't want to go into the new school year with this. And so she said, well, let's get her tested. Maybe there's some ADHD there. Let's get her tested and see. So we reached out to her second grade teacher, so she was moving into third grade, but obviously she hadn't even met her third grade teacher yet. So we reached out to her second grade teacher, and her doctor used the Vanderbilt study. So her second grade teacher filled out the assessment. My husband and I filled out the assessment, and then based on that information and the doctor's input, they spit the results out, and the results were that she tested positive for ADHD. She was high on the AD, but lower on the HD. And I held that information close to me. And so the doctor said, well, do you guys want to consider putting her on medicine? And immediately my husband was like, we're not doing that, because you hear all of the horror stories of children on medicine. And, you know, their personality changes and their energy level changes and they're just like little zombies. And so that's what was in our mind. The doctor explained some things, and she gave us some resources, some reading materials. She pointed us in directions of videos to look at, and gave us what options of medications were available. And so we did our research. And we said, okay, well, let's move forward with the medication, because, you know, there's medication and there's therapy. And the thing with therapy, it's like, okay, well, therapy for ADHD works, but it doesn't work right away. You know, the kids have to sort of learn these techniques. And if your child is a little young, as far as learning the techniques, it may take longer. So you will eventually get results, but it won't be immediately. And so because this was affecting her grades, because last year was a struggle for her to get passing grades, I mean, I felt like I had to make a choice between her mental stability and happiness and her grades. And I kind of felt like I needed to back off the grades, because her anxiety was through the roof, just dealing with it. And so it was a struggle for me to balance how much do I push and, you know, what's most important. Is it most important? Because she started feeling, she would cry, like, my son, he's really smart, and he just got things easier. We would be working on math, and he would, you know, at the time he was in kindergarten, and so she's in second grade, and he runs out the room screaming the answer because he's tired of hearing us go over the same thing. And so she would cry. One time she cried and said, oh my God, I'm such a terrible daughter. I don't know math, and my five-year-old brother knows the answer. And it took a lot of reassuring from us, like, no, you have your strong suits. You're great in this and you're great in that. Maybe math is a challenge for you and maybe it's not for him, but that doesn't mean anything about the person you are and how much we love you. And so I didn't want that to become what she thought of herself. If I knew that there was a way for me to help her. Now, she just wasn't good in math, and she wasn't good in math, but I felt like it was all a cloud of everything else that was going on in her and not necessarily her academic ability. And so, you know, when we moved forward and we thought about, okay, do we go through the process of her struggling academically? And then she was developing this attitude. My mom would say, in her old Caribbean saying, she would say, when the fox can't get the grapes, they say it's sour. And so my daughter developed that attitude, whereas, but kind of like, well, for academics, she would kind of be like, I'm an artist, so yeah, math doesn't matter. And I didn't want her to sell herself short, because she is a great artist. She is great at painting and singing and all of those things. But I didn't want her to sell herself short academically because she's very smart. Because she was struggling to manage her emotions and her focus, and we could help her. And so I just didn't want her to go down that road. So we thought about it, we prayed about it, we did our research, and we decided to move forward with the medication. And the first thing my husband says is, if we see any change in her personality, we're pulling her immediately. And I said, okay, that's fine. You know, I agree with that. And so we talked to the doctor. They considered what dosage makes sense for her age and for her weight and everything else. And we moved forward with medication immediately. And I would say even before we noticed the change, her grades, she had started third grade, and her grades, you know, the semester started strong, but her grades started slipping, and I noticed she had a D in a certain subject. So I reached out to her teacher, and I said, hey, I noticed that her grades just dropped drastically, and I'm curious as to, you know, what your thoughts are on what's going on with her that is making her grades drop, because we're doing everything we need to do at home, and she seems really well. It was in one of her reading classes, and I said, you know, just based on her scores reading, she's considered an advanced reader, so there's no way she should be failing at reading. And so she says, well, I've been meaning to reach out to you. And again, she has no interaction with her prior to this semester. I never divulge any information about my concerns with her. We had just gotten the results back, I think maybe a week prior, and I just, you know, I was feeling very self-conscious and I was feeling the stigma, so I hadn't shared it with anyone other than my husband. And so I said, she says, well, I've been meaning to reach out to you guys. I'm really concerned. She says she's very disconnected in our reading assignments, and she just doesn't seem very engaged when we're doing the assignment. She seems like she's off in another world, and I've noticed other things, and, you know, do you have time to chat? And immediately, I mean, I just broke down. We exchanged emails back and forth, and I said, well, you know, I kind of feel like that has a lot to do with her recent diagnosis. She was diagnosed with ADHD. She's also been diagnosed with anxiety prior. And her teacher's response was, oh, now that makes complete sense. That answers all of my questions. And so before, I was struggling culturally and socially with everyone that didn't spend as much time with my kid as I did, sort of saying to me, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with her, she just needs a good whooping, i.e. you're not parenting right, you're not doing the best job that you can, and you probably need to double down and discipline her more. And me in my mind thinking, I discipline, you know, I may not whoop her a lot but I discipline her, I think very, you know, strictly, like my kids would say that I'm the disciplinarian even more than their dad. And so I just didn't feel that the discipline was the issue, but I felt like it was something that I was doing. And so when her teacher said this to me, it was kind of like, oh my God. So no one validated the way that I felt or the things that I saw prior to this. So when her teacher said this, other than my husband, obviously, but when her teacher said it, was like, oh, okay, someone other than me someone other than me sees that there's an issue. And she was so kind. She said, well, this makes so much sense. I'm glad that there's a diagnosis for her. And I'm glad, I also mentioned that we had started treatment. And she said, I'm glad that there's treatment available for her. And so that, you know, opened up the door for us to go in and actually get her benefits that are available to children that have ADHD, like, you know, more time on tests and different things that just help her. But had I not opened that door, had I not said what I needed to say, my child would have been struggling in silence. She would have gone through all her life struggling with things that she hadn't no control over. In that moment, I said to my husband, I said, thank God I didn't listen to all of these people telling me that I needed to whoop my child for something that she couldn't even control. So
wow.
I felt it was like a weight lifted off of my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my gosh, finally I have answers. Because I was saying, before we even went into the doctor, I was like, I don't know what they're going to say. I don't know exactly what's wrong with her. I just know that I need some help. I know that we need some help,
mm-hmm.
and I know that we cannot go through another semester in the state that we are right now. So that has sort of been our journey through the whole process of diagnosis.
Wow. It just sounds to me that you are a mom who has been very, very in touch, with her personality. You have been very observant, knowing your daughter and really knowing who she is and, her capabilities. And so that's very important. And it's easy to, say, okay, she's acting out and, spank her and, or put her in timeout
right.
and she'll be fine, the next day. But, praise God, you just kept, going with that feeling that, okay, we need some help. So I'm going to just really try to reach out and find the help that she needs, and that is just so wonderful. And guys, in case you have just joined us, we are talking about the adventure that our guest had in Singa with her daughter in regards to being diagnosed with ADHD, and how it is important when you are, determining that something is not quite right or something is not quite the way you think it should be, it's okay to reach out. So, and this is what this conversation is certainly about this evening, that it's okay to help. And we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back and thank you guys for holding on the line. I'm going to pick up some callers. I'm also going to read some messages and then we will be right back. And again, Nsinga, thank you so much for sharing, and certainly going to hold you over, okay? We so appreciate it. And everyone, we'll be right back in just a moment, so please stay tuned.
This video is for parents and grandparents and for you, because you want your baby to thrive. For a baby, touch is talk. Touch is the most developed sense a small baby has. Skin-to-skin contact is a powerful way to communicate with your baby before your baby can talk to you. Give your baby the gift of feeling deeply connected to you. Give them a baby massage. Create a deep and lasting bond.
There's something you can do right now that will ease the pain of arthritis in years to come. By remembering the Arthritis Foundation in your will, you can help us find ways to stop this serious, often crippling disease. A disease that affects one in every seven Americans. Call the Arthritis Foundation at 1-800-283-7800. 1-800-283-7800. It's time we took arthritis seriously.
Hello, everyone. Do you want to be inspired and encouraged? Listen up. I want to tell you about a new and exciting book called My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal, Positive Thoughts for All Ages by Donna Paige Riley. Have you or someone you know ever struggled with low self-esteem or self-worth? Been bullied? Felt like giving up on something that seems too hard to accomplish? Get nervous about taking a test for school? Feel like quitting? Feel self-conscious? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you will want to purchase a copy of My Forever Affirmations Book and Journal. My Forever Affirmations is a book and journal of quick, to the point, powerful, encouraging, positive thoughts and poems that will keep you encouraged no matter your age or what you're facing. There's also room to write your personal thoughts, We all need to be encouraged in positive ways, don't we? After reciting these affirmations, you are sure to feel good or better about yourself. You will be encouraged. Hurry, order now. Copies are limited. Go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley. Again, go to www.amazon.com. Type in My Forever Affirmations by Donna Paige Riley and secure your copies. You'll be so glad you did.
Welcome to ProMixGlobal.com. ProMix Global will help solve your audio recording and production needs, whether it's song recording, mixing and mastering, CDs, commercials, IVRs, audiobooks, or general voiceovers. ProMix Global is the choice for you. Your project will be delivered on time and on budget. For additional information or to schedule your studio time, go to www.promixglobal.com. Once again, www.promixglobal.com.
Hello, parents. Do you have school-aged children or know someone who does? Listen up. Miss Donna has worked with youth and parents, building confidence and self-esteem for over 30 years. She is a John Maxwell certified master level trainer and coach, as well as a certified DISC trainer. Since numerous parents have asked Donna for advice regarding their children and teens, during this challenging time, she is offering special coaching sessions right now. Participating in these sessions will help your youth to become more inspired and motivated during the pandemic and beyond. Testimonial. Sarai Blue says, Miss Donna's training motivated, uplifted, and encouraged my children, ages 5, 9, and 15, and they are excited and feeling confident again. If you are interested or know someone who is, quickly go to www.missdonnaspeaks.com. That's www.missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Click coaching, then contact, and complete requested info, or send an email to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Hurry, space is limited.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
Okay, we are back, and we've been having a conversation with Nzinga Hickman. She shared her heartfelt journey through having her daughter tested and to find out that she has been diagnosed with ADHD and is on currently on a medication, and she's, you know, she's doing much better. Also, I thank you all for your patience. I'm going to go to the phone. And I want you to, let's see, I'm going to start here. Go ahead and answer some of the questions here for, let's see here. Here's one. It says, hi, Donna. I am grateful for hearing your guest share her story. Her daughter's action sounds like my niece. I will share this show with my brother so he can have his daughter tested. Thank you. And this is from Jim in Denver. Thank you so much, Jim, for that. I certainly do appreciate you sharing. And guys, and that's what we want to do. We want to, you know, anytime you hear information on the show, and of course the reason we do the show is to inform and to, you know, encourage and uplift. And certainly we want to be able to, you know, share information that you're going to be able to utilize as well. I'm going to, let's see, I have another message. And also, guys, I'm going to be bringing on just momentarily, he's no stranger to our show as well, Dr. Anthony Bobo, who is a psychologist. So he's going to go ahead and get in on the conversation as well. Here's another email. It says, Miss Donna, thanks for the variety of topics you have on your show. My family has listened to your show for 4 years, and we really enjoy it. As for this evening's topic, we have a 9-year-old who was diagnosed with ADHD. There is such a stigma about this that makes it uncomfortable. for my wife and I to discuss it with anyone outside the family. Thank you and your guests for making it seem okay to discuss this. And you are so welcome. And gosh, I definitely want to, I'm sure that Nzingo will probably have some comments or reactions to the messages that you all are sending. And again, thank you so much. What I want to do right now, I'm going to go ahead and I am going to bring on my friend here, Dr. Anthony Bobo, and just kind of introduce him to you or reintroduce you. He's been on our show many times, especially during the time when the pandemic started and we had all the riots going on and all of that. Dr. Bobo, how are you?
I'm fine, Donna. Can you hear me?
I can now, yes. Yes, so glad to hear. I know that you have probably heard some of the conversation this evening, and I know this is in your, you know, your department, you know, it's one of your areas.
Right.
And
right.
Which is love to have you chime in. In fact, I saw another message. As a matter of fact, I think I'll probably have you start here because this has to do with little boys. It has, Miss Donna, I have a black little boy, and I believe stigma surrounds little black boys more than girls. My son was diagnosed at age 8, and I noticed teachers treated him differently through middle school and high school. I'm torn about letting people know he is judged very differently. Can I have you start there for this parent, Dr. Bobo?
Well, you know, I think there are many, many, many things involved. I guess I'd like to start first with the whole diagnosis piece. The materials that are used to diagnose children with ADHD, in my opinion, is not exactly a very strong, strict application or assessment. When you look at things like IQ or when you look at things like academic achievement, you have some very stiff measurements, and you can tell a person the source of the issue with the IQ for the instruments that we use, and you can tell them how deep or how widespread the issue may be. With ADHD, what happens is the rating scales are sent out, the teacher and the parents fill them out, and basically it's a subjective view of what they see of the child. And sometimes you will find that at school, the teacher has one perspective, which may be not so good, and then you go to the parent, and the parent might have a perspective that's better, because it's two people viewing a situation, and we know that two people viewing a situation can be very different. So that's where I like to start. But frequently, particularly if you have an 8-year-old child, particularly boys, who are at that age are very active and very, very energetic. Now, what I find, even with the case, is Ms. Hickman, is that the parent's name?
Yes, Hello? Ms. Hickman. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. What I find is if you have a child who is very intelligent, like Ms. Hickman's daughter, you know, they need to be engaged. They need to have kind of hands-on activities, not sitting in rows, but being able to move around, using materials in the classroom where the children are hands-on, and that sort of thing, because if a child is very intelligent, then it's hard for them to sit in a row and just be read to. But they need to be engaged and active. And so that vision of ADHD kind of disappears because they're moving around anyway. And you're not talking about how often the child is out of their seat and that sort of thing. And then you have this whole issue with boys who are extremely active. You have to have those children engaged. Now, I'm not saying that people don't have ADHD. It's certainly more prevalent than it's ever been. You know, every time you turn around, you know, a child has ADHD. Well, maybe so. But we've seen that more than ever before, and I think some of it has to do with overdiagnosing as opposed to maybe a child really having it. But giving very strict instructions, high discipline, not in terms of corporal punishment, but in terms of expectations, and making sure that the child follows through on those expectations, all those things are involved. But if you let an 8-year-old child, an 8-year-old boy kind of run his own show, and when he gets to, if he's running it at home, then when he gets to school, he's doing the same thing, you're going to run into problems. And sometimes to get away from the feeling that I'm having difficulty as a parent, that my parenting skills are no good, sometimes it does relieve the anxiety for the parent if somebody brings a diagnosis and says, this is what the child has. Because it moves the responsibility from the environment to the child. And often, that may not always be fair to the child. Now, I've been in this business for over 30 years, child psychologists working with districts all over the country, seen them north, south, east, and west, black and white, Latino, Puerto Rican, whatever. And my ideas are still the same. So I think that there has to be some very strict discipline in the school environment. The child has to be able to be engaged, to have opportunities for movement, to be asked a lot of questions rather than just be fed information. And I think when we do that in the classroom, because I taught for many years too, when we do that in the classroom, you'll have better outcomes.
Thank you for that. And callers, thank you so much for your patience. I'm going to come to you now. The last four digits, I will identify the last four digits in your phone number. In that case, you will know that I am referring to you. The last four digits, 9541, the last four digits of your phone number, 9541. Hello.
Hi, Ms. Donna. This is Walter Hickman and Zynga's husband. How are you today?
Hi, Walter. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to tell you my thoughts on what we went through with what we're going through within Zynga. And I think one of the main lessons that I learned during that whole time is kind of trusting the process. I come from a background where, you know, you really didn't trust the doctors or what they had to say. They always we kind of felt like the doctors in the medical field had some ulterior motive. But I'm so glad that I did trust the doctors in this case, and just went forward with the process and prayed about it and trusted God and trusted, you know, the medical workers in this whole process, because Nzinga is really thriving, not because she wasn't thriving before. We knew she was smart, but she is really, really thriving now, and I just say hats off to her doctors, her teachers, and especially her mom.
Wonderful, wonderful. I am so glad that you could, you know, you kind of call in and join us as well. And I do, everyone, I do know their daughter, as a matter of fact, and she's very bright. She and her brother were both in my public speaking and socialization program. Extremely smart, both of them. And engaged. I mean, she was always very engaged and, you know, volunteered and just wonderful. So I'm glad to hear that. I do want to see if we can pick up a couple other callers as well. Walter, thank you so much. I want to see if Nzinga is still on. I know there was a couple comments that we had. The last four digits of your phone number is 8437. 8437. Hello. 8437. Okay, they may be just listening and may not be able to pick up at this moment. Let me go to try one other caller. 7231, last four digits, 7231. 7231, okay, they may be just listening as well. We'll circle back if we have time. We may or may not have time. We may possibly extend this out. Just definitely had a message about is if they're going to be a part two. And so we'll see what the availability of Dr. Bobo, because he always has some great information. Let me see if I can pull in Zynga back on. And Zynga, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Yeah, I just didn't know if
Sorry about that.
I wanted to. Oh, no worries. I just wanted to check back with you to see if you had a response to any of the messages that were directed at you. I do actually have another one I would like to read.
Okay.
This one says, Ms. Donna, I want to thank your guest for suggesting this topic. I have a child who seems like he may have ADHD, but frankly, as a single parent, I have been afraid to have him tested. Please ask your guest, how did she get up the courage to have her daughter tested? Thank you. This comes from Kelly L. in Columbus.
You know, that I love that question because that is what I struggled with because I don't think I was supported. And, you know, I agree with what the doctor said about a lot of times what we're seeing in our children is a lack of discipline. And by no means and my husband and I are we perfect parents, but my children are not lacking in the discipline area. I think we're very strict, and we get comments about how strict we are on our children, and our children are very well behaved. Ms. Anna, you've interacted with them. I'm sure you could attest to that. They are very well behaved children. So none of the concerns was based on that behavior. And so when I was encouraged to whoop her for not being able to answer work questions, like school questions, I kind of felt like I'm not going to whoop her for that, you know, or even in the things that she did where, you know, she was tearing up the walls or whatever, based on her behavior and in other things, just based on how she interacted, I think, and that's, you hit the nail on the head, Ms. Donna, when you talked about knowing your child. You have to know your kid. Like, I knew what my child was capable of. I knew that I was disciplining her. I knew that she was getting the things that she needed, and I felt like these things were things outside of that that I couldn't wrap my head around. It was things that were sort of off the wall. Like, what in the world? Like, why would you even think of doing something like that? And she didn't explain it. And she was not a bad child. If she was misbehaving constantly, it would sort of just fall right into the things that she did. But she was not. So I would say that you have to find the strength within yourself. And, you know, you have to sort of encourage yourself. Spend a lot of time in prayer. And most importantly, you have to forget what people on the outside have to say, because I had to get to that point when I decided, you know, it was too much. And finally I said, look, I have to get some help, because I realized that my pride was going to hurt my child. So I had to say to myself, okay, I could hide and keep pretending like there's nothing wrong because I want to present this perfect facade to the world where I can get my child the help that she needs and I can swallow my pride. It's not her fault. It's not my fault. And I think when she got on the medication, things completely changed. Now when we do work at home, it's not a fight. Again, she's not a perfect child, so there's things that we go through at home where she may not get this, and she's like, Mom, I need some help, as opposed to, Mom, I need help. I mean, it was crazy. Now she needs help, and she just simply says, Mom, I'm not getting this one. You know, can you help me? And we go through the process, and there's no anxiety. There's no crazy behavior. There is no shutting down. There's no walking away from the table and completely forgetting what we just talked about. her grades, all of her, I mean, she was an AB student before, now she's an AB student again. She's like, you know, four A's, two B's. So her grades are back on where they should be. And so I feel like I see the difference completely now. I would also say, I want to just reiterate that this is not just about ADHD. I want to, my neighbor, I was talking to her the other day. Again, we just moved to Ohio. We met our neighbor. She has a little boy. He just turned two. The first time I met him, I thought, he's kind of strange. He was about one. A few months later, I said to my husband, I wonder if she has gotten him tested. He seems very autistic. And again, just because of my background in psychology, I kind of picked up on it. I said, he seems autistic. And my husband goes, really? I didn't notice it. And I said, to me, it's blatantly obvious. And I never said anything to her. We don't have that type of relationship. I didn't think she would take it well. I didn't think it was appropriate. Fast forward, my daughter's birthday party, she came by and she brought her son, and she's telling me, would you believe I just took my son in for a doctor's appointment? And based on a few things he was doing and the doctor observed, they decided to send in the psychologist on duty to offer him services for autism. And she says to me, I was furious. I rebuked the devil. And I told him to get out of here and leave the room. There's nothing wrong with him. He was born in COVID, and all of the issues you're seeing is because he hasn't been socialized. In my mind, I'm thinking, what in the world? And again, I feel like that is because our society sort of blames parents, and we shun kids that have these issues that I have no control over. In my mind, I'm thinking, what is it going to hurt your kid if you allow him to get extra services, counseling, because he's not speaking mm-hmm. like he should. He doesn't make eye contact mm-hmm. like he should. Doing all of these things. She just is not there. Yes.
And Zinga, excuse me, just one second. Guys, if you are uh-huh. listening live, if you're streaming live, you're going to lose us in about 2 minutes. We will continue the conversation. However, do remember that you will be able to go back, listen to the show in its entirety. I have been getting messages whether or not we are going to continue this. We have not been able to pick up all of our phone calls or address all the messages. And, yes, I will ask Dr. Bobo if he may be available to come back to do a part two and to continue this conversation. Dr. Bobo, you're still there, correct?
Yes, I think that would be great.
Okay, so we want to bring you back if you are available next Sunday so we can go ahead and continue this conversation, because I know you have a lot more information that you would like to contribute that a lot of the parents will certainly like to hear. So I definitely wanted to find that out before those that are streaming live lose it. So we will continue this conversation on next week, and I'll certainly definitely have Dr. Bobo. Be delighted to have him come back as well. And then I'm going to let you finish your thought, and I'm going to go back to Dr. Bobo for a final thought, and then we'll go ahead and get ready to go ahead and close out again. Nzinga, again, I thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, of course,
thank
it took a lot of courage.
Me.
Yeah, for you to do that. And, you know, when you made that suggestion for as a topic, I'm like, oh, yeah, this will be great. You know, I'm sure that, you know, you're not the only person that, you know, would like to hear this discussion or needs to take part in the discussion, as we've seen already, you know,
right.
this evening. So it's very, very important, and it's okay. And you said that at this point, you know, she is just very, you know, she's thriving. I remember when you mentioned it to me,
yes.
I know the question I had was about the medication, not what medication, but what did she still have her personality? Because I can recall, I've worked with youth for years, and I remember specifically a lot of the children who were on various medications. I remember this one little boy I will always remember him, and this has been years ago. He just had a total personality switch, and I'm going to certainly, this is one of the things I want to talk to Dr. Bobo about next week, but he had a total personality switch, and this little boy had been very outgoing, and it was like he had nothing to say. He was very quiet. Just a total personality switch, and it really bothered me because I said, this little boy is just, he's not himself at all, period, because, you know, he was outgoing. He loved to, to kind of speak out. He would, you know, raise his hand and speak out. Even if you called on him, it was like he was pretty much, you know, just in a coma or something, you know, and I just will never, ever forget that. And after, a few of the teachers had mentioned it to the parent, and sure enough, the medication was too strong. And so once they got the medication adjusted, it was like this little boy came back. But it just really bothered me because I could see, he had a total switch of his total personality. And it's a good thing that they did mention, you know, that to the parent as well. And, that adjustment was made. But again, I do want to, again, thank you so much for sharing, with us this evening. And it was just greatly appreciated. And I know that, you know, your heart was definitely with parents, making sure that, you know, they're made aware, and just to kind of, you know, really lean in and really know your child. And a lot of times, you know, there's so much multitasking going on, you know, when we're communicating with our children. And so it's so important, you know, we have to kind of put some of that aside, especially as our children are smaller, and just really leaning in and giving them the attention they need. And that's going to be one of the best ways to really understand, is this child's personality? Are they acting out of character, mm-hmm. or are they acting up? You know, or what? And so, you know, it certainly sounds like that, you know, you guys were definitely, you know, really, really were connecting, you know, with her, and knew that this was just something out of the ordinary. So thank you for that. And again, thank you for suggesting this as a topic as well. And so let me just really, let me just applaud you for that. And I don't know, I think you answered the question, because I remember that last question is they wanted to know how did you get along? Did you address that?
I got to the point where I didn't want her to struggle. I didn't want her self-esteem to be impacted. I saw it happening. I saw her starting to question herself. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to swallow the pill, and, you know, it felt like I was admitting defeat. But so I felt like I was going to swallow that defeat pill and just move forward. I the only thing I could say is I found, you know, my faith in God. I prayed a lot. I asked the Lord to give me strength and guidance, and, you know, to give the doctors wisdom, and, you know, just help us through this process. And I pushed forward because I didn't want her to struggle anymore. And honestly, when I first got the results, my husband and I were talking about it, and I said, well, I didn't feel that I would get support from my family or my close friends. And so I just said, let's not. I told him, I was driving in the car and I was thinking about it, and what came into my mind was, and I said, it was the Holy Spirit that was saying to me, keep it close to the chest. And I know people say that all the time. And, you know, honestly, I don't know if it was just my mind or if it really was the Spirit, but I just felt, I said that to him, and he said, well, I could support that. He said, you know, just so that we don't go back and forth based on outside influences, let's just keep it between us for now. And so we did. We didn't tell anyone. And quite frankly, you don't have to, right? It's no one's business. And so we didn't initially, we just sort of looked at her and watched her. And again, also, I think that probably too was part of that self-doubt, like, is this for real, or is it just me wanting this perfect child and not wanting to do more work? And when I saw the change in her, when I saw the, you know, sort of just instant, I want to say it was after maybe 4 days of her being on the medication, it was like, oh, wow. I immediately saw a change in her, and it was like, okay, you know, my confidence started building, and then I had that conversation with her teacher, and it was like, oh, okay, it's not just me. Her teacher wasn't talking about any bad behavior. She was literally talking about the disconnect and how she wasn't able to focus and she wasn't able to get this done because and how she would tear up things under her desk. She's like, her desk is a mess. She's like, go in there and there's bits of paper and her pencils. She's like peeling all of the outside of the pencil. She just picks at it and things like that that I knew were a part of what I was seeing also. And so, you know, maybe it is that you move forward and you keep it between your inner circle. Maybe it's just something that you and your child's father deal with, and you don't share it with anyone if you don't feel the strength to do that moving forward. But we have to put our kids first. We can't keep worrying about what other people think. We have to worry about what's best for them.
Absolutely. And of course, you said something just very profound as you guys prayed about it. And you received,
absolutely,
you know, godly wisdom on what it is to do. And oftentimes everybody is not going to, you know, receive that same wisdom that you receive. And so, and when
absolutely
that's the case, oftentimes you have to just kind of go with that and, you know, just kind of bypass the naysayers. You know, that's just what we have to do.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, so again, thank you so much for sharing. I so appreciate it. And I'm going to go back to Dr. Bobo and see if he has any closing comments, and maybe he can kind of give us a glimpse of some other information he'll want to share on next week. Dr. Bobo?
Yep, I think our conversation next week is going to be outstanding and very exciting. I'm going to reserve my remarks for that time. But everybody
mm-hmm
that's on now, they get back on next week. It's going to be informative, exciting, and helpful.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we want to do. Thank you so much, Dr. Bobo. Looking forward to the conversation on next week as well. And, guys, I will be posting that coming up shortly. I do want to say it is 2 days before Election Day. If you have not voted early, and I'm so glad I did because there have been lines everywhere, please make sure that you go out on Tuesday to vote, okay? It really is our responsibility to do that. Oftentimes people may think, oh, well, if I don't vote, then it's okay because it's just my one vote. Well, you take that and you multiply that by, you know, 100 or 200 people. And then, yeah, you can see where it actually does make a difference. So please, before you go, if you're not sure where you're supposed to vote, you know, please take the opportunity either tonight or tomorrow to make sure that you find out exactly where you are supposed to go to vote, okay? And please do that. There are some critical races that are going on, you know, around the country. And listen, please, that's, I'm just going to leave it at that. Please vote. And if you don't vote, don't complain, okay? Because, I mean, you could have helped change the situation by voting. And if not, you know, hey, don't complain about it, okay? But hopefully, you know, get everybody to go out to vote. You know, vote your conscience, vote for who you feel will, you know, to represent you best. There are so many different seats that are needing to be filled and needing to be filled with people of character. I'll just leave it like that. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening this evening. I certainly do appreciate it. Those, when you guys call and when you send us messages, thank you so much for that. Even if you joined us for the first time, I appreciate that. Certainly want to welcome you to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. We're just so glad that you showed up for us this evening. Remember, once again, if you have an etiquette question, if you have a topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know. We will do all we can to see if we can certainly discuss that, okay? Remember the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. And we appreciate when you tell your friends and family about our show and you invite them to listen as well. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. We know we can only do that one person at a time. One of my favorite psalms, of course you heard it, is never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. Okay? And on that note, please make sure that you initiate an act of kindness. I generally say initiate an act of kindness this week. But you know what? I know if you make an intentional decision, you can actually initiate an act of kindness every day, okay? Thanks again for joining us. And on the note of acts of kindness, I'm going to go out and I'm going to leave you with a tool that you can utilize to be able to keep up with those wonderful acts of kindness that you will be initiating, okay? Good night. Take care. God bless.
Are you a kind person? When was the last time you initiated an act of kindness? Did you know that genuine kindness is being nice to someone without expecting anything in return? When you are kind to others, it helps to make someone's day, and you will feel good about it also. Use the Kindness is Contagious Journal by Donna Paige Riley to track kind deeds. Or you can use the 120-page blank line journal for whatever you'd like. Go to Amazon.com, type in Kindness is Contagious by Donna Paige Riley to secure your copy today. That's Amazon.com, type in Kindness is Contagious by Donna Paige Riley and secure your copy today. You will see that kindness is contagious.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.